We always turn to Betsy Lundy from the Downtown Bangor Partnership. Betsy is on a little trip today. We got, I would say, the next best thing, but every bit is good, and it means we get to see him 2 days in a row. Eric Meehan is here from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, representing the Downtown Bangor Partnership.
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
Good to see you again.
I feel more sober. Just I'm not even like looking at a glass of wine. So that's, yeah, I mean, the bourbon in the parking lot didn't help.
Well, and it also means Carrie and I are going to be much less charming today.
Well, that's, I mean, you know.
Without that
impossible.
Oh, wow.
Hey, look, we have a guest.
You do know I have control of your mic, right?
You did bring along a
guest. Sorry, the Purell today. Shower just messed me up.
Would you like to introduce your guest?
Absolutely.
Before she runs screaming for the exit?
She's way too gathered for that. So, hey, everybody. As Rich said, I'm here today as a board member of the Downtown Bangor Partnership, and our job is to promote the downtown and to get everybody really understanding the various facets of how the downtown works together. It's a big love fest. And frankly, in my humble opinion, every time we talk to people from the downtown, we talk to the same 20 people. And that's cool. There's a lot of people, though, that we don't talk to. And our guest today is one of them that I've long known for being one of these dynamos in the shadows. Her name is Sarah McCarthy. She works for the Bangor Symphony Orchestra, and I got to know her as a fan, as a patron, as a board member, as a everything. I'm a big pain in her rear sometimes. We'll get to everything. But anyway, my guest today, Sarah McCarthy, from the Bangor Symphony.
Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Wonderful to have you here with us. Give us a little bit of your background. We mentioned you were born in Vermont.
Yeah, born in Middlebury, Vermont, moved to Maine when I was just about 4, and this has been home except for a few interludes to the Midwest for college and then abroad to Vietnam for a few years, but ended up right here in Bangor and really love it.
Wonderful. How long have you been with the Bangor Symphony Orchestra?
Over 10 years now, yeah. Starting to look like a career, as my husband likes to say.
It seems funny. That way. You work with fundraising. What are some of the other roles you play in the downtown community? Because I know you're involved in many other things.
Well, in the downtown community, it's fun. The symphony moved, Eric, was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah.
More than two.
More than three. It was 3 years ago now, yeah.
Over 3 years ago, we moved downtown. At the time, Eric was on the board of the Bangor Symphony and played an integral role in the research and the consideration we put into an opportunity to move into downtown space. We now are at 189 and 193 Exchange Street, right on it's called the Nichols Block. The building that we're in was built in 1892. And actually, before that, we were right next door to your station here as Husson University gave us donated space in the Quirk House. But the move to downtown was really good for us. We'd been trying and doing little outreach and small concerts here and there, sometimes at Bangor Wine and Cheese Company or Nocturnum, but to have our own space to do stuff and have offices is great.
Yeah, what does that mean to the organization, not just to be based in downtown Bangor, but to have that opportunity too through Bangor Arts Exchange to be involved with performing right in the heart of downtown?
Yeah, that's been a great opportunity for us to interact with new audiences and new partners too. We're in the space. We're the main leaseholder, but we have partners in the space in Launchpad and Bangor Ballet, their administrative offices. And then we have a whole slew of arts partners, as well as other groups that come in and use the space that make it viable and possible for us to pay rent and enjoy the space there.
Yeah. Well, that I obviously one of the reasons that I've always been fascinated with Sarah is because, frankly, she's overseen the orchestra, which it's in direct relationship to, I think, downtown and Bangor in general, has really developed a very strong personality over the past decade. But one of the things that Sarah did, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, is when you joined in 2008, I mean, you witnessed a couple of changeovers of administration. Mm-hmm. and have basically at times ran the orchestra yourself when we were essentially without executive directors. How did you feel that that went? Were you supported by the community? Is it something that you expected to happen? And talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was hired in 2008 by the current executive director's predecessor, David Whitehill. He had just joined in 2007, and his goal was to sort of right the ship. We were carrying some pretty serious debt, and that wasn't public knowledge. We're public about it now because we're on the other side of it. But so he said he wanted to hire someone with my skills in fundraising to steward our donors. I mean, we'd really been focused on selling tickets, and we just needed to make a shift and continue to sell tickets, obviously, but work on growing our annual fund and other unearned income. And so David was with us about 5 years, and then that's when Eric alluded to me. I was actually interim executive director for a 6-month period, and while we were searching for the now executive director, Brian Hinrichs, who came on the scene in a much different place than when David Whitehill had come in 10 years ago. You know, we had just cleared debt. We had a surplus budget, not surplus budget, but we were in the black for a few seasons. And so we were at a place where we weren't sure what was next. So it was nice to bring in someone who with fresh eyes and energy and take us to the next level. But that interim period of 6 months as interim executive director was probably one of the hardest times of my life. But as you asked, I mean, I really felt the support of both the board of the symphony, as well as, you know, our partners at the Collins Center for the Arts had to step up and really help at concerts, because I'm not a music expert. I know more of the, interpersonal skills and working with, you know, outward with our clients and supporters. So, but yeah, Bangor really has valued this orchestra for what now almost 125 years.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible to think. I mean, and it's always a pleasure to hear when Brian or whatever will come back from a conference somewhere and he's very quiet about it. But he's like, you know, I was in groups of people who are all cash strapped, and I'm sitting there saying, we're in a good position and we're financially responsible, and it's a pleasure to be able to sort of do what we want when we want. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about really quick, if we have a little time, is something off this topic, but I had sent Sarah a list of questions, just, you know, random things that I thought might stir some conversation. And one of the things that I asked is, what single issue do you think will most influence the success of the downtown by 2030? So sort of a 10-year view. And she wrote back, I'm wondering what's going on in and around the mall. And it got me to thinking, and I've thought about this for a long time, is what do you see as the symbiosis between a downtown and and the outskirts, the boxes, the malls? Is there a healthy symbiosis? Do you think they both need to exist? Is that something that you, because it's, you know, sometimes when you're championing downtown, it's almost right at the expense of that. Right. But what do you think?
Or vice versa, right? I think I understand. I didn't live in Bangor at the time, but I actually came up for tournament time from Waterville. Got a speeding ticket along the way one time. You know, they had a captive audience.
It's a tough stretch of road.
But I know you're listening, Mom, so you remember that. But I understand that part of the downturn, maybe, or the tough times that downtown Bangor had, and any downtown, if you think about it, was the building of the mall in the early 80s, right? And sort of the focus was out of downtown. I think it's switched, right? Yeah. Now I see, and I just wonder, I think they're, you know, I do love to shop downtown. I want to find things downtown. It's great to be able to walk to downtown from my office and sometimes from home if I have a little more time. But I wonder, you know, you can't find everything
right
downtown.
Right. No, that's why I was kind of curious about that, because it's always been a very suspicious thing. I firmly believe that you need that to draw people downtown as well, because of course a lot of the folks that we all draw from, including the orchestra and everything, is the Maritimes, mm-hmm. people that are at a distance and are coming specifically to utilize the whole of Bangor.
Right.
And
hospital.
When one thing is lacking, and frankly the hospital is another extraordinary conversation that you could have, is that lacking? Is the administration problems there? And so it was a very interesting answer. So I just wanted to.
Well, in the University of Maine system, right? They moved. They had offices downtown for a long time, and that building is still, I understand, vacant. So that there are a lot of, I think all of it is a symbiotic relationship that we have to look at.
But yeah.
I'm happy that downtown's thriving, and I'm curious. Do you agree with your own shop downtown?
Well, I mean, I think downtown has gone through a number of hills and valleys, even in amongst the continued growth that I've seen in 10 years. There was an initial push that kind of petered out around the middle of this decade. A lot of the initial pushers got tired, went out of business. There had to be a revival. And certainly outside forces, the waterfront concerts, things like that, the orchestra moving down. There was a number of things that I think energized that downtown push. And not to toot our own horn, but I think the Downtown Bangor Partnership right now is comprised of people that are much more intent on pushing the downtown and who are more capable of it than perhaps at times in the past. It's a little more coalesced and focused. So that's
Sarah, before we let you go, tell us about some upcoming events that we can plan for with the symphony.
Yeah, well, we have a lot. March seems to be our busiest month always, which we try to reschedule. But upcoming next Saturday is our what we call our Symphony Soiree. It's our 12th annual. It's our biggest fundraising event. It's held at the Collins Center for the Arts. We have a silent live auction performance element. Lots of fun. Tickets are still available. You can get that info on the Symphony website. And then the next day, in partnership with the Maine Science Festival, our Masterworks concert called Sounds of the Sea is the Maine Science Festival's headliner. So 3:00 on Sunday, March 22nd at the Collins Center for the Arts as well is our next concert.
Oh, by the way, Kate Dickerson from the Maine Science Festival will be with us on Friday too.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a really amazing partnership. Kate Dickerson and our music director and conductor, Lucas Richmond, have worked closely for over a year on this particular piece, the Warming Sea, that they commissioned Lucas to write. And that's an integral part of that concert and fun to see take shape.
Wonderful. It's good to see you, Sarah. Thanks so much for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Come back anytime when you've got good news to spread.
I would love to. Right. Lots of bad news out there, so it's nice to share good.
And Eric, good to see you. Will you be in tomorrow as well?
Hey, why not?
All right. No tasting this week.
No, that's next week,
right.
From 5 to 7 on next Thursday. And I'll remind you all of that on Message in a Bottle next Tuesday at 4:40-ish.
All right, so we'll see you tomorrow.